Good morning. How are you doing today? Little cold, right? I was mentioned to my Sabbath school class that we should enjoy every day. You know, some days are cold, others are hot, and everything has its beauty, its benefits. In occasions we complain because we have a sunny day or rainy day or hot day, but more than complain, we should be grateful that you had the ability to enjoy and feel this beautiful cold air and breathe and have this blessing that is called life, that in occasions we pass here, we don't pay attention to that many occasions, right? I want to overemphasize in one announcement that it was made today, and it's between, I think it's between February the 8th through the 13th or the 12th. You remember what it was? It's between the February the 8th through the 12th. What was happening here? It's a revival. What is exactly what we're doing? You know? Well, what we want to do is put this church on fire. But we want to get our church on fire again for the Lord, for God. This is a new year, and we want to use any opportunity, any venue to talk to other people and bring into Jesus. So, make plans. February the 8th, it's only 4 days. We will have somebody teaching us here. We will have some time for praying. In fact, 1 week before, the church board has selected a day, and we want to invite you to join us for fasting and praying. That's a Saturday. I don't know if Gabriela remembers. It's January 25 is when we're doing the fasting and praying. And I think it's a beautiful opportunity for us to pray for each other and to pray for our community and pray for our salvation. Amen. So may God bless us all in this intent that we have. Have any one of you grow up in a small town? Do you know, Jean says yes. Do you know the experience of growing up in a small town? What happens when people live in a small town? So, tell me something. Everybody knows the business, everybody? Okay, what else? Oh, yeah, it's like it. You have like a lot of mothers, right, and a lot of fathers. Wow, that's interesting. I never heard that before. Communities, small communities, had a tendency to be attached to each other. They work for one goal and one purpose. In occasions, life in a small town is nice, it's good, it's beautiful. You could see boredom for some people, you know, like they prefer like more action, they prefer big cities. But I enjoy small towns. And by the way, Aiken is a small town, right? So in Aiken, you have to be patient when you are driving around. Why? Because everybody goes slow. Lee, it's not like in Ohio that people go faster here. They go slow. And some don't put the sign in, you know, when they are turning around, you know, like they just cross in front of you, you know. Some moments you need to pray more for them too. That happened to me the other day that I was right there at the intersection of Walmart here in Whiskey Road. And this lady decided to stop right there in the middle of the intersection when the light changed to green. So nobody can move, right? So some people behave in selfish ways. Well, the towns in Jesus' time, they were not much different than our towns today. I want you to picture a small town like the one I grew up, you know, where they have a central park, small park, and all the important buildings are around the park, right? If one day you visit Colombia, and you will find out that all the small towns are the same. What you will find in that location is the church. Most of the time, it's the Catholic Church. They had a big building there. You find the police station right there, too. And then you have the mayor's office in that location. These three buildings normally are in all towns. So once you get there, you know, you notice it's a small town because it's the church, police station, and here is the mayor's office. You are in a small town. And the whole community knows that that's the center for conversation, that's the center for meetings. When they had different protests and different things, they go there to the town to complain. So that's what happened. And I grew up in a town like that in Colombia. and the name of the town was Tame. It's very easy to pronounce, right? Can you say it with me? Tame? Tame. It's very easy. We have some funny names in there, so, and they are more complicated, but my town name was easy. And people used to make jokes about our town because we had more donkeys than cars in there. And it was a small town, one only big road that crossed around the whole town. And that was the only road that had pavement, you know, the central road. And the rest of the streets and roads, they were unpaved. So if you were walking there to church, as we used to do, in Saturday morning when the weather is like 90 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you decide to wear like a long sleeve and tie and walk like 10, 12 blocks, you will find out that it is quite annoying because you start sweating, and when you are sweating, your clothes start getting black right there to your skin, and you feel the sensation, right? And then the car pass by you, and when the car pass in an unpaved road, what happened? You had this beautiful cloud of dust, so everybody in my church was kind of like blondish. You know, when you get churches, you are blonde hair, and not because it's natural beauty, it's because the dust that you have on top of you, your shoes are with dust, and your clothes is unclean. And that's normal, that's expected in a small town. I don't know, here in the U.S., you have more civilization, more advancements. But there, most of the people walk to church, and that's where it happens. Also, in the small towns, it's not a lot of things to do. It's not a lot of entertainment. So one of the things that I remember we used to do on Sundays is go to the park right there. And in the park, you had the people, the vendors, the ones who are selling food and different items and different things. And also, you had the opportunity to mingle with the ladies. So if you want to find friends or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever your plans were, then you need to go to the park on Sunday because it's when you got a chance to meet new people. And that's it. In the afternoon, for like 2 or 3 hours, the kids go there and stay there and talk. And then after that, everybody goes home. You know, there's not much of the action there. And that's the whole action in a small town. And life is slow and kind of like repetitious. You do the things in cycles every day, right? The Bible mentions a small town. And I want you to open your Bibles in Matthew 11, please. Matthew 11. And the story today had to do with an illustration that Jesus is using here in Matthew 11. Please let's start in verse 11, Matthew 11:11. And this is what Jesus is saying to the people that is listening to him. Assuredly I say to you, among those who were born of women, there are not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive, he is the Elijah who will come. He who had ears to hear, let him hear. But what I should say about this generation, it is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and did you not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. So it's an interesting story here in Matthew 11. The context of the story had to do with John the Baptist. As you remember, John the Baptist was the one who was preparing the way for the people to receive Jesus when he was finally doing his ministry. And John the Baptist had this very simple life. You remember he dressed with camel clothes, and he had a very simple diet. He was a man that lived outside of the desert, and in few occasions comes near the cities, and his message was repentance, right? calling the communities to repent because the kingdom of heaven was getting what? Getting close. So they need to prepare their hearts to listen to the message that God was bringing to the people. And you find that John the Baptist, after being preaching for a few months, and eventually he get to end in jail because King Herod, his wife, pursuing him to put him in jail as a way of punishing for criticizing the king. Now, the question that I have for you is this. When you are at church, when you are here sitting, do you feel happy? Or is always something that you find that is disturbing to you? You see, people go to churches for different reasons, right? And I don't want to judge you. I just want to explain you some of these reasons. Why you come to church? Think about that. Don't answer me that quick. Think about that. Why you come to church? You need an encounter with your fellow brothers and sisters? Or you want an encounter with God? Is it because your presence is required here in this location? Is it because you need to talk to your friends? Many reasons that people go to church. I don't know what are your reasons. But I hope that we all come to church because we are looking for God. Right? But some people go to church for different reasons. And when you go for the wrong reasons to church, you will find the wrong things at church. I remember talking to a gentleman a few years ago, and he always complained about the music that we have at church. Why you guys are singing this song? These songs are terrible. The music here, the music there. And at that church, they used to have a program for the youth. And during that program, the music was a little more festive, more happy, I should say, and a little more fast. And this gentleman was always complaining. And I was always reminding him, this is a program for the youth. You are too old for this. You know, but he wanted to be there. And kind of like a dark cloud over the program, right? So some people is like that. They go to church and they specialize in finding what is wrong. Do you saw that sister over there? Look at her shoes. She had open-toed shoes. Please, who cares about that? You know, like, or they had shoes that they had closed. Or look at her skirt. Or, you know, I know some of the guys are looking at me. What are you talking, Pastor? Talk to your wife and she will explain to you what I'm saying here. If you don't get it, she will explain it to you. But the ladies had a tendency to pay attention to everything, right? And to each other in special. How are you dressing? It is funny when I talk to Denise on occasion and she's present here. And when Saturday is getting close and we had to get ready for church, and she says expressions like this, I don't have anything to wear. Please, your closet is full of clothes. Oh, no, I can't wear that because I used it like 4 weeks ago. I use the same suit every week, and who cares about that? They care. They pay attention to that. So some people do that. They come to church for their own reasons. They come to church because they want to listen what is new, what is exciting. And we live in a society today that people get tired really fast. Have you noticed that? People get bored really quick today. Think about this. Before cellular phones were invented, if you go to eat with your friends and whatever you were doing, you will eat like a happy family, right? What people do today when they go to restaurants? Have you noticed? What they do? Everybody's using their phone. They are sitting at the table. Nobody talks to no one. You're checking your news, your test. Dad is looking at over here. Mom is doing that. Everybody lives in their own world because we get bored. Let's accept it. You get to the doctor's office and they used to put magazines in there. I don't think they do it anymore. Why? Because you got your own entertainment, right? We get bored. So when you are like that and you come to church, you will find problems at church, right? Because you are coming for the what? For the wrong reason. We should come to church to have an encounter with God, with humility, when hunger for listening to the Bible, when desire to worship and pray, when the sincerity to talk to God and confess our own sins, when the opportunity to acknowledge our own mediocre life that we have in occasion. And Jesus is addressing this issue in this community here. He's telling them, listen, John the Baptist came here, and what the people saw in John the Baptist was a crazy guy. They were thinking that he was too extremist. They were saying that he had a demon. All these comments they make about John the Baptist. Why? Because he had a simple life, because he was trying to be measured, because he was trying to present the message of God. He was criticized by that. Now, how they reacted when Jesus? How people reacted when Jesus? We had this romantic idea, right? To think that Jesus was loved by everybody. And not everybody liked Jesus. In fact, the big majority rejected him. They didn't like the way that he was talking to sinners. Keep in mind that at the time, if you made friends with the wrong crowd, with the wrong people, people will destroy your character and your reputation. And in a small town, reputation is important. In a small towns, everybody knows the life of everybody. Oh, that's the daughter of such and such. Oh, she was pregnant before she got married. And the years can pass, and this young lady may be married, but the people will always remember what? She was pregnant before she got married. Or that he was a thief. Because we have this tendency to label people, right? And that's what they were criticizing Jesus, saying, listen, this guy liked to eat too much. He drank too much. He got with the wrong people. He should be with the priests and the holy people instead of with the sinners. Because they had the wrong idea of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus used this illustration that I think is interesting and is appropriate. He's explaining a game that kids used to play in small towns. And the game is found here in verse 17. We played the flute to you and you did not dance. It seems like at the time when kids were bored, go to the marketplace there and they start playing with musical instruments. That was the way that they used to entertain themselves at the time. They didn't have Nintendo or anything else. So let's go to the park and play there. And it seems that you have two groups of kids in this illustration, right? One want to play singing songs, but the other group say what? Yeah, it's boring. Let's play something else. All right, let's play the funeral. So what used to happen in funerals is that you have a lot of people crying very loud. They had these professional criers, They will call and hire to cry when somebody dies. And you find that in the Bible in several occasions. When Jesus was visiting some people that was already dead, the people who were professional criers were already there crying, right? And the loudest and the higher that you cry, the more money that you will make. That was a profession. And quite sad, but still today in the Middle East, they had people that do this in funerals. And so the second game is playing to the funeral. And what the kids, the other group say, no, we don't want to play to the funeral. What is Jesus trying to present here to these listeners, to this community, is that they were unhappy, that nothing making being satisfied. How do you feel like that lately? There is something missing in your life. Have you noticed that? And you're trying to compensate with different things. Today, the psychologists, for instance, say that when we had a tendency to overeat right now in winter, they call that comfort what? Comfort food. Why? Because it makes us feel better. It's our way to deal with what? With pain. So when somebody gets depressed or sad, what they do? Well, some like to sleep, others like to go to theater, watch movies. Like an old friend I used to have that he get really, really depressed and the only things that he used to do was watch movies, watch theater, because that's his way to disconnecting with reality. How you deal with pain? how you deal with your frustrations. What you do? Do you pray? And then you find out that maybe nothing happened, the problem continues. Then next, what you have to do next? Come to church? And then you come to church and you don't find what you're looking for? Because you feel that your life is still empty? Right? Have you noticed that? Well, I got a solution for that. You would like to hear what is my solution for this problem, for your emptiness. By the way, a lot of people, especially in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they tend to give a special location, a special place for knowledge. We are the church who like to study about everything, to know about everything. If you want to do this, let's have a seminar, and then you will be an expert in this area. Have you noticed that we do that? Well, let's create a new committee to study the possibilities in how to resolve these problems. We are very intellectual, and we think that with knowledge we solve the problems. But the basic truth is that it doesn't matter how much prophecy you know. Probably you are an expert in Daniel 11 here, or you know all the prophecies what the scripture mentioned. Maybe you are an expert in Revelation. And for that, we salute you and we respect you. But that doesn't solve your problem. Maybe you are an expert in praying. Maybe you are an expert in discipleship. I don't know. We all have different areas of expertise. But still, the feeling is in there. Right? I had a simple solution for that. Probably you know the answer to this too. Maybe you don't like it, but it's a simple solution. The solution for this problem of emptiness is trying to focus less on yourself and help someone else. That's that simple solution. Stop thinking too much on yourself and start doing something for someone else. That's called discipleship, ministry. Somebody that you can reach, somebody that you can help, that will give meaning to your life. Because the most that you think in your life, the bigger your problems will get. When was the last time that you give a Bible study to someone? Let's put it more simple. When was the last time that you prayed with someone that it was in need? You remember how that made you feel? How it made you feel when you pray for someone? Made you feel good. What about when you talk to someone about Christ and what he's doing in your life? How that made you feel? You see, the society in our church here in North America, not only in Aiken, in the whole nation, I think, is that we are less and less involved in ministry, and then we are more concerned with our own problems. And we have problems. A lot of them. We have problems with theological issues. We have problems with issues that we create. But Jesus is trying to convey today, at least to these people that is listening, that they are quite unhappy for everything. There is a solution. Can you imagine that they had the best teacher ever and they were unhappy with Jesus? They find things to criticize in Jesus? The other day, Gabriela sent me an email, and I really appreciate it. I sent, and it has some several quotes. And one of the quotes that I liked the most was this: "Do you want a better pastor?" And I was thinking, yes, I want a better pastor. So I start praying for the one that you have right now. And I think it makes a lot of sense. We need to pray for each other. We all have to need to pray for each other and, you know, support each other. Is wisdom. Listen, this new year comes with new opportunities, new things that you want to try, and I hope that God give you the strength and the blessing to accomplish whatever you want. But I would like to suggest to you that if you really want to get rid of this emptiness in your life, we need to put the right purpose in there. We are here as a church to help others. God called us here to ministry. This is more than a place to come and have a nice talking. Although it's good to have friends and talk, you know. But we are more than that. more than like a social elite club. We need more than that. We need to honestly and sincerely looking for other people and help them. And when we do that, you will notice that your life will start changing. That doesn't mean that your problems go away. The problems will continue there. But your life will have some meaning, some purpose. You will notice that the problems at church start decreasing when the church gets involved in ministry. I'm telling you this from the perspective of the pastor. The churches that I'm being pastoring, when the people don't do anything, the only thing that they do is criticize to each other. Because you don't have any other thing to do than look to each other. And then if we start looking to each other, then we will find problems, things that we do wrong. Right? Because we all make mistakes and we all had things that we do wrong. So that's my invitation for you today. That we begin this new year with a new, renewed purpose of reaching for people that in reality need about God. And you probably will say, Pastor, I don't have time for that. Pastor, I'm too old and I don't have a mean to go outside and reach for others. I don't have the time to go to my neighbor. I don't have even the desire to talk to anyone about God. Well, if you are in that condition right now, what about praying for others? Can you pray? Not for yourself, for others. You see, we say that we like to pray. But even that, when we really start thinking about how much time we spend praying, we discover that we don't pray a lot, right? This church is founded in simple principles. Reading scripture, spending time with God, praying, and doing ministry to others. If you really care for your salvation and for your soul well-being, I will recommend you to spend some time in ministry this year. Ask God to give you some ideas how you can get involved in church and ministry, how you can help someone else. I'm pretty sure that God will give you ideas and it will bless you and make your life better and richer. Then we will come to church and we will have a beautiful purpose to come to church, right? To rejoice in the beautiful things that God is doing for our community and for our families. May God bless you today.